This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, for the first hour, and I'm happy to report that still on kind of a trip, but also attended the Colombian Gold Symposium this week, and really the main takeaway being just how difficult it is to get anything going for the companies in this area. Be sure to check out our website for a little bit of coverage from the show. To kick off this show, I am chatting with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of The Felder Report. Jesse, it's been, I think, a couple months since I had you back on the show, and there's been a lot going on in the markets. Let's first start off with the U.S. markets. I read over your newsletter on a regular basis, and I think very clearly you have been pointing out to your subscribers that you see a topping process very much in place for U.S. equity markets. There's a lot of weakness that we've seen in the tech sector, also weakness out of data from the housing sector, and, well, the financials are still struggling. What do you have to say about this general topping process that we are seeing in U.S. markets?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think, around Labor Day, we saw a string of Hindenburg omens that was, greater than we've ever seen, and basically that's just massive breadth divergence underneath the market. That was a huge warning. I think we've had 11 days in a row on the New York Stock Exchange where we had Hindenburg omens triggered. And that's basically just a sign that breadth was deteriorating significantly under the surface. Even if the index was staying near its highs, there are a lot of stocks trading at new lows. And that's kind of materialized in the indexes now, where we're seeing the index had the big sell-off in October. We've tried to rally. What I'm seeing is risk appetites are not recovering. And that's really important for the stock market. You want to see money flow back into these high beta names. You want to see money flow into consumer discretionary and industrial stocks and these kinds of things. And they're just not. Investors are preferring defensive sectors like utilities and telecom and consumer staples. And we're also seeing, widening in credit spreads at the same time. So to me, all the signs are pointing to continued risk aversion, which is not, set the stage for stocks to rally back to the highs. To me, it suggests that, that this is indeed a topping process and that opinions and feelings about stocks are turning more negative. That's probably just a sign that, earnings growth is not going to be as good as people expected, nor is revenue growth. And so fundamentals are slowing down, if not deteriorating, and that's going to cut into valuations. And so this is how every bear market over the last 25 years at least has started.
Well, one thing that I find interesting and one of your recent misses to your subscribers is the whole concept of this passive investing that investors really bought into for year after year as the market was going up. We're seeing a very, very different atmosphere in terms of investing right now, aren't we?
Yeah, and I really do think that, the idea of passive investing, people are not passive. People who, are essentially throwing money at the indexes, chasing momentum, just as they have in markets for, over 100 years. It's under the guise of passive investing, but if these markets roll over, people are not going to passively hang on to these things. And the markets have been largely driven by basically passive flows, money flowing into the indexes under the guise of passive investing. And if the markets roll over, money's going to flow out and only make it that much more painful on the downside. I think the virtuous circle that we've seen of money flowing in, pushing prices higher, attracting more money, and pushing prices ever higher can reverse into a vicious cycle of declines inspiring outflows, which inspire even more declines in outflows, and et cetera, et cetera.
Jesse, how much do you think the global markets were telling us, or at least foreshadowing, this move down and potential bear market in U.S. equities as well, compared to just how rough the Asian markets were and even markets over in Europe?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a chart that I've shared on Twitter several times over the past few months is just the U.S. market versus the rest of the world. And you look at a ratio of those things, and the U.S. market's been massively overbought relative to the rest of the world. And how did we get here? Well, the global growth has been kind of slowing and rolling over the past, I don't know, year, 2 years. And we had a massive tax cut that basically created a sugar high in our economy over the past, you know, year or so, 9 months, at least so far this year, which has boosted our stock market. But that's not a long-term phenomenon. That's a short-term temporary boost. And so this divergence between the U.S. and the rest of the world, comes down to that simple fiscal stimulus, which is now in the process of wearing off. And so, yes, the global markets, the weakness in those markets has been a good warning sign that, you know, U.S. stocks can't hold up the world markets by themselves.
Now, how much of this whole fiscal stimulus and the money flowing into U.S. markets do you think has also helped support this rising U.S. dollar, that whole tax break and, again, the Fed and, well, on a more tightening course? Money has been flown much more into the U.S., and that has to also have contributed to the U.S. dollar moving higher, hasn't it?
Yeah, the dollar strength this year. I mean, I still am under the belief that, the dollar peaked a couple years ago and we're still in the midst of a dollar bear market. This rally this year, can largely be attributable to the same, thing as the divergence in U.S. growth and the rest of the world, which is we had this, tax cut, corporate tax cut, which also allowed companies to repatriate cash. And yes, there's been the divergence in, monetary policy with the Fed raising rates and the rest of the world still seeing, negative interest rates in a lot of places. But that's been the story for a long time. It's really, I think, the boost in the dollar this year is that corporate repatriation of cash. And over the last several months, we've seen that repatriation dwindle, but the dollar has still moved higher. And I think that's essentially just trend followers and speculators playing this short-term uptrend in the dollar. You look at the positioning of speculators across the currency markets, and the dollar bullishness hasn't been as high as it is today since it peaked a couple years ago. So, you look at other things like, the daily sentiment index in the dollar or dollar optics, and it's, 90% bulls, which every time we hit this level of optimism in the dollar, we're close to a reversal point. And I think the current point that we're at, short-term reversal point, is probably lead to a resumption of the dollar bear market. And that's just a function of the massive fiscal deficit that we're seeing. It's supposed to hit $1 trillion during the current fiscal year. And that's a huge headwind for the dollar. In fact, it's a tailwind for a dollar bear market.
Hey, we even saw some recent data out of the U.S. of last month, the deficit, $100 billion. So that was far exceeding what a lot of people thought. But when you say dollar bear market, I have to ask, where's the correlation in terms of another currency in a bull market? Where are you looking favorably?
I think probably the euro and the yen, those are the biggest, components of the dollar index, mainly the euro. And it's not that I'm super bullish on those. It's just that I'm way more bearish on the dollar. And I think probably, these widening fiscal deficit will contribute to that, but also a narrowing in the divergence of monetary policy. So the Fed has been tightening for, was it December 15? So 3 years the Fed has been raising interest rates and, quantitative tightening, or the end of QE. So if you look at the shadow Fed funds rate, it's been rising for even longer than that. So these other central banks are going to have to, they're actually already begun reining in their dovish policies and starting to tighten in their own way. And the Fed will have to probably start reining in its hawkishness at some point.
Hey, I'm with you, Jesse. At some point, the Fed will be reversing course. It's just the now guessing game of when it will be and how aggressively they will reverse course, if it will be a slow process or a very quick one. We are out of time for this first segment, but I am having Jesse back in the next segment. Everybody, stick around. We are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more,
follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with our conversation with Jesse Felder, founder of the Felder Report. Jesse, we talked a lot about the U.S. equity markets, global markets, and central banks last segment. There's another sector that you have been writing about more and more, which I think is very noteworthy because you are very much a generalist investor. This is the precious metals. What do you have to say about the potential opportunities in the metal sector?
You know, I'm really, really excited about the metals right now. I think that, you know, we talked about passive investing before, and there's literally just no interest on the part of passive investors in precious metals, which means they are, as my friend Diego Perea calls them, the anti-bubble right now. And so they've been literally left for dead, and a stock like Goldcorp to be trading at, you know, 60% of its liquidation value is insanely cheap. I think that's why we're starting to see some consolidation in the sectors. You know, the bigger players who have the balance sheet, you know, capacity are going to be looking to make, you know, buy some of these companies that are this cheap. And I that's not part of my discipline, is to look for companies that are going to get bought out. But I really think that at the price Goldcorp especially is trading today, it's at risk of that, of getting bought out. The thing for me, though, that's most exciting about gold is I went back and a lot of people know Warren Buffett dislikes precious metals, dislikes gold as an investment, but a lot of people don't remember that in 97, he bought over 3,000 tons of silver for Berkshire Hathaway. And he wrote about in 97, actually in 98, it was the 97 shareholders letter that came out. He wrote about why he was buying silver at the time. And he said, actually, this was a return to the past for him. 30 years ago, that would have been the late 60s, he bought silver because he anticipated its demonetization by the U.S. government. He said, ever since I've followed the metals fundamentals but not owned it, in recent years, bullion inventories have fallen materially. And last summer, Charlie and I concluded that a higher price would be needed to establish equilibrium between supply and demand. So there's a couple different things he looks at. The first time he bought silver in the 60s was because he anticipated the demonetization of the dollar. And that was essentially happened in, you know, 71 when Nixon discontinued the convertibility of the dollar into gold. And when you read about the Nixon shock, there were several reasons why he was forced to do this. And at the time, you know, it was a combination of the balance of payments, negative balance of payments, growing debt as, you know, part of the, you know, paying for the Vietnam War, and then monetary inflation created by the Fed, all, you know, essentially put pressure on an overvalued dollar to essentially devalue it against gold and other currencies. If you look at what's going on today, the balance of payments is much more negative today than it was back then, the trade balance. The amount of debt is, like we talked about a minute ago, the fiscal deficit is going to hit $1 trillion this fiscal year. It's growing, you know, as fast as it has at any point in time, and very rarely. Actually, the 60s was the only other time in history where the deficit grew during an economic expansion. So, and then if you haven't noticed the monetary inflation by the Fed over the past decade, I don't know what to tell you, because at the rate of M1, the currency component of M1 is growing at 7% right now. The first time it hit that rate of growth was in May of 1966. So, you know, it's no longer the president's ability to devalue against gold. It's the market's purview to do that. And, you know, based on those dynamics, I think that's, you know, very likely to happen.
Okay. So you are seeing just a general atmosphere for the resumption, or at least a new gold bull market to occur right now, though, with the dollar moving higher. And it seems like a lot of even fear trade that doesn't seem to be going into gold. What are your thoughts of that whole argument that as U.S. markets fall, that should also, the whole fear trade, safe haven play of gold should be coming into the picture, but it isn't right now?
Yeah, you know, the indicators I look at for gold is you look at financial stress, and there's a bunch of different ways that the Fed kind of defines this, but financial stress is really highly correlated with the gold to S&P 500 ratio. So when financial stress rises, you know, gold does better in terms of the stock market, or the stock market does worse in terms of gold, however you want to look at it. And so you do need a lot of times, you know, signs of financial stress for gold to do well, at least relative to the stock market. And I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing widening corporate spreads. And just to come back to the gold bull market, the other side of it, you know, Buffett talked about was when he bought gold or silver, sorry, in the late 90s, is because silver, the supply of silver had been, you know, diminished so much, and he thought that was, you know, one of the things that was going to catalyze a much higher silver price. Silver prices went up 1,000% over the next, I don't know, 12, 13 years, something like that. Right now, if you look at the supply of gold, and my friend Luke Roman, I got to give him, you know, props for bringing this chart to my attention. The registered stocks of gold, you know, COMEX, is the lowest it's ever been in history. It's 138,000 ounces that are available for delivery. You know, the only other time it's been this low was in late 2015, right before gold popped, you know, 25% or something. And then if you go back before that, and it was only like 2002 or something when you had gold stocks, registered stocks, this low. So to me, the supply of gold is also extremely low right at the time we're starting to see signs of increasing financial stress. So I think we could be very close to a time when gold is about to pop a lot higher.
Okay, and I think it is key to know that doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be tomorrow or next month, but you are seeing these pressures and these factors building. Can you share with us how you're planning on playing this market, the precious metals market, when it does start to move? Are you going to be looking at the ETFs, buying actual gold, or dabbling into some of the stocks? Where's your sweet spot?
Probably my favorite vehicle for just, you know, a pure play on precious metals is the, it used to be the Central Fund of Canada. I think it's now the Sprott Physical Gold and Silver Trust. And it's a closed-end fund that owns the physical metals and trades at like a 4% or 5% discount to the metals that they have in storage, which to me is crazy. I can buy these things at a 5% discount. But the other thing is, since Sprott, you know, took over this fund, is they'll actually convert it to bullion for you. So I don't understand why people aren't just buying shares in this fund and then saying, hey, convert it, and arbitraging that 5% away. There's literally no reason why there should be a discount in this fund if you can convert to bullion. So to me, that's my favorite way to play that. But I also do really like the Bang stocks. I think these companies, if gold price is going to go higher, these are, you know, these companies are very well positioned to take advantage of those, of higher precious metals prices, and they're clearly levered to the price of the metal. And so, yeah, I do think they're probably my favorite idea across all the equity markets right now, are these gold mining stocks, because they're so cheap and out of favor. And if, you know, the metals prices go higher, as I think they will, the stocks are going to do phenomenally well.
Yeah. Hey, it means a lot to me seeing someone like yourself, a much more generalist investor, shining this positive light on the precious metals. Overall, there are some of these longer term factors that eventually will take hold of the markets and, more importantly, the precious metals. But as for now, Jesse, it's great having you on the show. Everybody go check out Jesse's site, The Felder Report. And Jesse, have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin,
right,
while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes. And the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed the first two segments with Jesse Felder. And in this segment, I am chatting with Chris Martinson, co-founder and co-editor of Peak Prosperity. Chris, one thing that you talk about a lot with your subscribers and even in your book is the fact of the energy markets, how they can play havoc with the overall economy, and quite frankly, just how important they are to the world. What we have seen recently is the discrepancy between oil and natural gas, and just this last week, a very volatile and a huge move down on just one day in the oil market. What are your thoughts about what's been going on in energy?
I think it exposes what a travesty the markets have become under the Fed's tutelage and along with the other central banks, allowing so much liquidity and speculative fever to infect the markets, and then also a severe lack of regulatory oversight by the CFTC, allowing just outsized positions to get held in a variety of very, very important commodity markets by single players. Somebody or maybe somebodies blew up last week in the oil trade. Now, we know that oil peaked out at about $77 a barrel. It was back in the earliest days of October, and then just down ever since. And then on a day recently, we saw oil plunge 8%. This is the most important commodity in the entire world. It's not overstating it that the world runs on this one commodity. To see that violently spike 8% in a day, I've never seen anything like it. The RSI, which is a measure of how oversold or overbought something is, hit a level that it's never hit ever in the oil series. So it was a pretty big day. And at the same time that was happening, natural gas spiked 18% in a single day. And so, you know, the after action battle reports, some fund, probably a hedge fund, and I have to use the word hedge with air quotes around it because they weren't actually hedged, but they were playing a game. They were long oil, short natural gas. It's a spread trade. Sounds good. They probably made money for several years doing that. And then one day they lost all of that money and more. They just had a violent liquidation. And so when I say this is a silly, silly sign of where we are, it's just ridiculous that markets that are this important, this vital to producers, to consumers, to the whole world economy, that they could be violently whipsawed by a fund or a small set of funds blowing up tells you we had regulatory lapses. Nobody should have been allowed to accumulate a position that big. By the way, speculation should be feeding at the edges of these key markets, not driving the center of them. And of course, the Federal Reserve and the other central banks are at the center of this for having created the liquidity conditions that allowed such speculation to gain such a dominant foothold. But really, really big moves last week. And by the way, going to be a lot of pain because of that out there in the real world where all of the oil drillers, the shale people are playing and all of the oil service companies. It's going to be very painful what happens next to some of them.
So, Chris, a lot of people look at the oil market and use it as a barometer of global health and global growth, for that matter. It sounds like you think that some people are tinkering with this market so much that that's almost an unfair or unreliable barometer right now. Is that true?
It's true, and we used to have a lot of reliable barometers, you know, or let's say instrumentation. We're flying a plane. And I think we've lost the altimeter, which is the price of money. That's the most important thing you got. And we're flying around mountain ranges, right? But we don't, our fuel gauge is out at this point in time because, you know, bond markets themselves and yields no longer give good information because, the distortive, deformative effects of the central banks tinkering and buying stuff. A quick example for your listeners, the fact that last year in 2017 we saw the junk debt trading in Europe for less of a yield than U.S. 10-year debt tells you how deformed that market is. I mean, when we're talking European junk debt, we're talking Italian shoe manufacturers whose market share has crumbled and who haven't made payroll in 3 months, right? I mean, it's really junk. And to see the debt of those companies trading with a yield less than U.S. 10-year, whoa, full stop, like crazy time, right? So that instrument's broken, and I think that the prices of equities are not giving us good information at this point either. You know, when we see, you know, you can do quick screens now for price earnings, and, you know, you find them in the thousands, hundreds, 500, 400, 200, 100. You have to go past, I don't know, probably 20 pages now to even get down to what seems like a reasonable by comparison price earnings of 50. It's just nuts, right? So everything got really, really distorted and deformed. And so the question becomes, what do you look to get your information from? Is this drop in the price of oil telling us something about global growth, or is it telling us something about the unwinding of a speculative position? Maybe a little of both, but for now, I still think it's the speculation that's the dominant piece of the story.
Do you think it's also telling us still that there is either A, way too much money still in the system that was created by the central banks, or B, or maybe a combination of both, is that money is still far too available at too cheap for big institutions to play around in these markets?
Yeah, it's still, there's still way too much. It's way too much liquidity out there. One way to sort of look at this, I know people are talking about, okay, the Fed's raising rates, but what they're not doing with that is they're not draining liquidity. They're not tightening financial conditions. They're making money a little bit more expensive, but there's still lots of it. And the reason for that is because the Fed is raising rates by simply turning a dial. That's the interest on excess reserves. So let's look at those for a second. The excess reserves are really the rocket fuel. Is there money out there to be loaned? Absolutely. Before the crisis started in 2007, you would see the excess reserves hovering around zero, or what looks like zero on the chart. 20 billion, maybe 30, sometimes as high as 50, but really settling around maybe 10 to 20 billion of excess reserves. Today, that number is about 1.7 trillion, having been as high as 2.4 trillion just a number of months ago. So there's still 1.7 trillion of excess reserves kicking around in the system, looking for something to do. And they wouldn't be excess reserves if the banks had something better to lend it to or on or use it. There's tons of liquidity out there in the system. And that's what the Fed is not draining right now. It's still leaving that out there, even as it pretends it's doing something by raising rates. And, hey, we'll have to see if they even get to this December rate hike. The Wall Street Journal's now weighing in, along with Trump saying, stop, you know, too much pain. We've experienced a whole month of stock volatility. How much can a suffering nation take? So there's already calls from the crybabies on Wall Street saying, we want our liquidity. We want our, you know, Fed to be there making stocks go up at all times. That's how ridiculous it's gotten.
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous. But you know what? It is those crybabies on Wall Street that are saying stop to the Fed, because right now, and I still don't think that the Fed is going to pull back on their December rate hike, but quite frankly, the Fed has said that they're okay with some market volatility, and boy, have we seen a lot of market volatility. Is it fair to blame it all on the Fed, though, this recent market volatility?
No, you kind of have to blame it, if you can use that word appropriately, on all the central banks, which have decided that a full 10 years of just throwing endless amounts, trillions and trillions of dollars into the markets, that had to end at some point in time. So the European Central Bank is committed to winding down its balance sheet expansion efforts. It's getting very close to the zero mark, has had a couple of weeks where it actually dipped into negative territory, but it's still not in total negative territory on a monthly basis, but close. Federal Reserve is on negative territory on a monthly basis, and the Bank of Japan has also started to, it's at a flat line right now. So just that alone, where we're not seeing quite as much money go into the markets from the central banks, that has been enough to begin to have some of these price distortions get exposed, and we're starting to see that unwind. I'm not seeing it really a lot in the U.S. markets yet. I know we've had some volatility in equities, but I'm looking at credit spreads. I'm looking at the JNK junk bond ETF, the HYG junk bond ETF. Looking at these, they're a little weaker, but they're not signaling that anything's really amiss yet. And when I interviewed Steen Jakobsen, the CIO of Saxo Bank, chief investment officer, he said, well, Chris, that's because what we've seen is almost $4 trillion get repatriated by U.S. corporations. It came home. It flooded into the markets. It had to go somewhere. And that's providing a little lift at this particular point. But that winds down, and that ends right around now.
All right. There you have it from Chris Martinson. Again, go check out Chris's site, peakprosperity.com. Chris, it's always great having you on the show, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
All right, welcome back. Here we are wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition, and I'm very happy to report that I am joined again by Michael Belkin, founder and editor of The Belkin Report. It's been a while since I had Michael back on the show, and Michael, I want to get right into it and start off with what's going on in U.S. equities, but comparing that to what's happened in global markets. Overall, global markets had been breaking down much earlier, and now that we're seeing some weakness in the U.S. markets, it's almost like we're finally seeing investors realize that the U.S. markets are not that oblivious to what happens around the world, and this catch-up very much expected. Can you share some of your data with us, please?
Sure. It's great to be back, Corey. So the average global market is down from its peak. Most markets peaked in January, late January this year, January 26th. So the Chinese market, Shanghai Composite, is down 25% from its peak. Italian market's down 23%. DAX, German market, down 16%. Most European markets are down around 15, 16, something like that percent. Nikkei's down more than 10%. The S&P is down 7%. So what's happened is, just from a simple trend analysis perspective, these markets have all fallen to their 200-week averages, which is the first stop in a bear market. You know, that's like an intermediate bear market. That's where you go. That level is down big for U.S. Stocks. Look, so it's down about 20% for the NASDAQ from current levels. That might sound ridiculous, but that's just where other markets already are in the world. They've fallen from their peaks to their 200-week averages. So, and if you think about what happened is portfolio managers, hedge funds, people like that got squeezed into the FANG stocks, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, and, you know, Apple. And that was in the summer. So the U.S. S&P went to a slightly higher high in August, September over its January high. The NASDAQ went up a little bit more, and these FANG stocks went up a lot. Now, people are left holding the bag on these things. So let me give you an example. From their peaks, now the FANG stocks are already down. They're on down an average 21% from their peaks, which was in July. So Facebook is down 34% from its peak, Netflix down 31%, Amazon down 21%, et cetera, et cetera. So down 20-30% from their peaks. So somebody's holding the bag on big losses. Now, you got to remember, this was the biggest, most popular consensus position. You had to be in these stocks. Do you remember that? It wasn't that long ago, right? A couple months ago, you got, how can you not be in FANG? It's the only thing going up, blah, blah, blah. So now the problem here is the 200-week average, remember that? That's where other markets already are. For the FANG stocks, that is so far down, it's not funny. So 42% down for Netflix and Amazon to get where other markets already are. So, you know, I mean, this, you might not want to hear this, you know, but if you're out there and you're still holding these stocks and thinking, you know, these are the best stocks in America, blah, 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 category killers, sorry, these are the best shorts right now. So that's what I'm telling my clients. My clients are hedge funds, private family office. I had, a big private family office come out, you know, and I spent all day with them yesterday going over this. And so I think there's a great opportunity shorting. I mean, 42% down in Amazon. Who's calling that? I'm probably the only one on the face of the earth. And it's not ridiculous. That's just to catch up. Simple trend analysis. 200-week average. So the problem is these stocks went up so far and so many people bought them at the top that there's a huge downside trap door waiting to open.
So, Michael, some scary stats there if you are holding some of those past high-flying stocks. But what about the flip side of that? We've seen a lot of money now go into the defensive sector of the markets. Do you think that's sustainable, or what do you see the trend developing here?
There's been a huge rotation into, you know, the S&P has 10, 11 sectors. You know, they have a new sector now, communication services. But what's happened is in the last month or two, basically since July, a little bit longer than that. Utilities, consumer staples, REITs, those things have added like about 10 to 15% alpha. In other words, they've outperformed the market by double digits. And nobody was in those stocks, right? But now there's people are starting to get the message. You know, I've been saying to do this, you know, for months and months. And so think about it. If you're long FANG and you're not long utilities or consumer staples, you know, things like Procter & Gamble and et cetera, you're getting squeezed. You're short. Your longs are going down, and the things that you're not, that you're short or that you're not long, are going up, and you're sitting there, you know, your stomach's in knots. That's what's out there in the professional investment world, you know, long-only portfolio managers, hedge funds. So there's a great opportunity here, you know, buy the defensive stuff. I think it's, you know, so what I do is based on a proprietary forecasting model I developed, form of time series analysis. And, you know, it gives a forecast for sector analysis and things like that. And I think this outperformance of defensive sectors is just starting. And, you know, so utilities, consumer staples, real estate, telecom in Europe, things like that. It's a global phenomenon. And, you know, gold stocks are right in that group. The gold and gold mining, gold and silver miners are really out of favor. You know, we had a huge rally in 2016. They pulled back and it kind of got nowhere, kind of sideways for a long time now, a couple of years. I think they're poised to take off. So I include gold stocks. You know, we had Barrick Gold take over of Rand Gold come out, you know, a month or so ago, and that was hugely bullish. You know, Barrick Gold stock went up a lot. It hasn't dragged up the other stocks so much yet, and I think that's waiting to happen. So that's what I'm advising, you know, institutional investors. There's a great opportunity on the short side. Unfortunately, it's the stocks that are their longs. So I'm saying, short your longs and buy your shorts.
Hey, I respect that, Michael. And you know what? I do have to say that when you take a step back and see what's happening here, what the global markets were telling us beforehand, and now the breakdown in these high-flying stocks and the rotation into the defensive stocks, it's really showing us in a broad sense that a major shift has happened, hasn't it, just over the last couple months?
Yeah, in the U.S. Well, now, remember, Corey, this has been happening globally.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you're a global portfolio manager, I honestly do not understand how you could watch your Chinese stocks go down 25%, the index go down, your European stocks go down 15%, and you sit there long the U.S. Hello? We're in the midst of a global bear market that started in January. So there's great, you know, as individual investors, I published something called the Belkin Report. It's for institutional investors. It's expensive. We're doing a cut rate version of it, just an extract of it. I also have a gold service, the Belkin Gold Stock Forecast for individual investors. But it's just like there's a wake-up call. I just do not understand how professional investors who are paid to manage other people's money can be in the midst of a global bear market and still hold on. There's this idea that the U.S. is going to be, you know, Trump has made everything great and the U.S. stocks are going to go up while the world goes down. Sorry, that isn't going to happen. You know, one of the biggest pitfalls in the thinking, you know, people talk about stock buybacks. Okay, so stock buybacks, I think, of course, Trump cut, you know, taxes and the corporations got this tax windfall and they are buying their shares back. So that is happening. But let me just put that in perspective. In the last bear market from the peak in 2007 to the bottom in 2009, you know, the credit crisis bear market, stock buybacks, official executed stock buybacks, not promised ones, according to Standard & Poor's, fell by 86%. The stock market only fell by about 60%, you know, the S&P. So stock buybacks actually fell more than the S&P 500 in the last bear market. So this, I mean, it's another delusion that's out there that stock buybacks are going to keep the market up. What happens is when the market starts going down, you get into a recession. I mean, that happens at the same time. Corporate earnings fall, and this is probably a next year story. You know, it's not going to be next tomorrow or the next week or something. But when corporate earnings start declining, those stock buyback promises go out the window, just like it's just as easy to cancel as they are to promise. So, I mean, think about that. 86% decline in stock buybacks in the last recession. Nobody's talking about that. So stock buybacks don't lead the market. They follow the market down.
Well, and one thing to consider, too, that you pointed out in your last report is that in the last 2 months, we saw record stock buybacks, more so than that peak in 2007. So that's telling you we're also at an extreme for this. So the reversal could be even more severe this time. Hey, as I said, great having you on the show. Michael Belkin, again, founder and editor of the Belkin Report. If you want more information on how to sign up for Michael's report, just click on the weekend show posting and follow the links to find out some more information. It's always great having you on the show, Michael. And I do want to say thank you to everybody who has tuned in to the first hour. I'm always available through email, so please email me at fleck@kereport.com with any companies you want me to take a look at or any guests that you want me to follow up with to get some of your questions answered. Everybody, have a great weekend. Michael, again, appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corley Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you talk your name, we'll hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.